This is the Truth Network. Matt Slick is president and founder of the Christian Apologetics and Research Ministry. Matt is a Master of Divinity and is ordained. He's passionate, and Matt stands firm and lives to defend and promote the Christian faith. Matt Slick doesn't take any Monday through Friday, Matt takes calls from all around the world on his radio show. We've compiled this week's best. Matt Slick's Top 6.
Number 6.
Why was Jesus given authority if he was God?
Because he was made Lord and the angels, Hebrews 2:9, and made under the law, Galatians 4:4. Under the law, he was obligated to have the Father be the one he would worship, and he didn't perform his miracles till after his baptism when the Holy Spirit came upon him, because he was under the requirement of the law, and it was at the age of 30 that he could enter into that priesthood according to the Old Testament law. That's why the authority had to be given to him, because he was humbled, Philippians 2:5 through 8. Made under the law, Galatians 4:4, made for a little while lower than the angels, Hebrews 2:9.
Number 5.
If God is going to take the bad people first, who's going to be left to do the bad things to us?
Sorry, I love that question. My view is that we go through the tribulation period, and that right at the end, when mankind is about to destroy itself, that Jesus will then take the wicked, move them maybe to Armageddon, I don't know. And then the Christians will be raptured, and the destruction will occur at that point of the wicked.
Number 4.
A Christian is someone who is elect and has been regenerated. Well, that's a true Christian. Then there's the loose Christian definition, someone who professes Christ. So it's a similarity to what's called the invisible and the visible church. The visible church, you go to church and you see 200 people there. That's the visible church. Now, how many of them are really saved? Well, let's just say 190. That means there's 190 true Christians. What's a true Christian? Someone who's regenerated and dwelt by God. And what we do is we define Christianity doctrinally. That's different than defining what a Christian is. But a Christian has to abide by the doctrines of Christianity. You know, Jesus Christ is God in flesh, the Trinity, virgin birth, justification by faith alone and through Christ alone, and things like that. But a true Christian is someone regenerated and dwelt by God.
Number 3.
My sister-in-law, they recently became pastors. Now, they're both senior pastors, and I've discussed with them that, you know, the woman cannot have authority over a man. Even though I give her the scripture about that authority issue, she doesn't accept it.
You need to tell her flat out that she's in rebellion against God. She's sinning against God. The Word of God has revealed the issue. She's contradicting the Word of God, and the judgment of God will be upon her. A judgment can manifest in giving her over to the depravity of her heart and her mind in that area. And what will probably happen with her is she'll start adopting other heresies and things like that, as will the husband, because he doesn't have the discernment of an onion. Both of them are failing miserably. And if they're by any chance listening on the air, I'll just tell them that they are in sin and rebellion against God for disobeying the clear teaching of the Word of God.
Number 2.
Was there a purpose behind Job suffering all that he did?
Well, you know, it's God who initiates the issue when he says to Satan, "See Job, my servant, and see how good he is, how wonderful he is." And then this challenge goes on. And of course, God is vindicated before the evil one. It looks like the four challengers to his sanctification before God represent different philosophical views. I think what Job is about is God owes us nothing. Blessing comes from God. He can take and he can give. And that our eyes are to be on him, and we should never blame him for any wrongdoing. I think that's pretty much a solid thing in that book. But I'm sure that Job, you know, reading what he did, is helpful to us as well, so it's a benefit to us. It points to Christ as the one who will ultimately take away all of our suffering, because this is the result of sin and the enemy of the gospel.
Number 1!
With me falling back into drugs, I started getting involved with that again. Up until just recently. So I'm glad that I'm back in the halfway house, because I know that he is helping me.
Yeah, and if you don't repent, if you're really a Christian, which sounds like you probably are, you know, not excusing the sin, but if this doesn't stop, he may kill you. Sometimes what God does is he lets us go through stuff so that we're later shaped as he shapes us through our sin, because we choose our sin. He lets us have that, but he can use it anyway. So that's a possibility with you. But it might be a possibility that if you don't beat this, you will lose the tremendously blissful ability and experience of helping others. And there's a verse you might want to memorize. The address is Romans 6:21. What benefit were you then deriving of the things of which you're now ashamed? For the outcome of those things is death.
And now, the end is near.
So long, farewell, I'll be to St. Edge.
We hope you've enjoyed this episode of Matt Slick's Top 6. For more on Matt and his live syndicated call-in radio show, go to truthnetwork.com. Got a question? Matt Slick has your answer. This is the Truth Network.